الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الأفلاك والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم In the last lesson, we learned the translation and a brief explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah's first few verses. Before we move on, can anybody tell me something that they remember from last lesson?
The conditions for guidance.
The conditions for guidance. Anybody remember some of the conditions? Anybody remember anything else?
Believing in the ilmi ghaib of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Believing in the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the knowledge of the unseen. Every believer has the knowledge of the unseen, which establishes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had the knowledge of the unseen. And what we believe in regards to the knowledge of the unseen for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave knowledge of everything from beginning of creation till those worthy of Jannah enter into Jannah and those worthy of Jahannam enter into Jahannam. In detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all of that knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if anybody brings forth a narration from hadith which contradicts that belief, then our reply to that is that we believe that Allah gave all this knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the whole Quran was revealed. So if they wish to bring forth a hadith that contradicts this belief, they have to bring a narration from after the whole Quran was revealed. After the verse Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum was revealed, if anybody can bring a hadith that contradicts that belief, then it will hold some weight. Otherwise, it does not contradict our belief. What else did we learn last week?
The hurufi muqatta'at, the alif lam mim. We don't know the meaning of that, but you gave us a what it could mean.
Huruf muqatta'at, meaning the single letters in the beginning of some of the chapters of the Quran, they are from amongst the mutashabihat. Mutashabihat are those verses of the Quran where the meaning is not clear, the meaning is not apparent. For example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word yad, which means hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from amongst the mutashabihat, meaning the meaning of this is not clear. And the most favored opinion amongst the mufassireen, those who explain the Quran and the fuqaha kiram, is that you should not interpret it, you should leave it as it is. And that's why Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala's translation Kanzul Iman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says yadullah, the hand of Allah, he translates the word yad as yad. He doesn't translate it as heart or hand. He leaves it as yad. Because that is the favorite opinion, that you should not translate it, you should not interpret it, leave it as it is. However, when people like Ibn Taymiyyah began to interpret these words, the mutashabihat, then the ulama-i-kiram unanimously agreed that now we must interpret these in the correct manner. And that is when the ulama-i-kiram began to interpret the word yad, for example, as the power of Allah. So the hand of Allah means the power of Allah. For example, sometimes we say, when somebody asks you for a favor or asks you to do something, we say, it's not in my hands. It's in such and such a person's hands, which means it's not in my power, it's not in my authority, it's in somebody else's hands, in their power. So these words we shouldn't interpret. However, when you are facing the interpretations of people like Ibn Taymiyyah, the Wahhabis, the Shias, then in such situations it is fine. Not just fine, but you must interpret them in the correct way. In the same way, if you are making people aware of it, then in that case you will also interpret so that people understand the correct interpretation. But without need, then we must not interpret it. Anything else that you remember from last lesson? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this book unto the Jews and the Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that this is that book that was promised. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in it is guidance for the pious, for the God-fearing people, for the muttaqoon, those people who have taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned 6 attributes of these people. And to the Jews and the Christians, the conditions for guidance, that if you wish to attain eternal bliss, then you must follow this. And the 6 attributes, first of all, was to believe in the unseen, to know the unseen with certainty. That is the first. And when we say the unseen, it is not general, meaning the Hindus believe in all sorts of unseen. Even the Jews believed in all sorts of unseen. But the unseen we are talking about here is that unseen which Allah has informed us of. And ghaib, the definition of ghaib, ilm al-ghaib, the definition of it, very important for us to understand. Because one of the misunderstandings that we, our people have when we are debating or arguing or discussing with the Devbandis or the Wahhabis, is the actual definition of ghaib. What they say is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't have ilm al-ghaib. It is only for Allah. Why is that? They say because if Allah has given the knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is not unseen anymore. He knows it. Allah has given him that knowledge, so it is not unseen anymore. It is not ghaib for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, it's not ilm al-ghaib. Allah gave him that knowledge, so it's not unseen anymore. That's what they say. The reason why is because they don't understand the definition of ghaib. If that was the case, then even Allah wouldn't be alimul ghaib. Allah wouldn't be the knower of the unseen, because everything is not unseen to Allah. Allah knows it all. So the same thing can be applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can only reach the correct understanding if you understand the definition of the word ghaib. And the ulama kiram have said, al-ghaibu huwa ma yu'qal, that which cannot be understood by the intellect. وَلَا يُحَسْ بِالْحَوَاسِ الْخَمْسَةِ, and you cannot feel them through the 5 senses. You cannot feel it with the 5 senses. These are the 2 parts of the definition of ilm al-ghayb. That which you cannot understand through your intellect, and that which cannot be felt with your 5 senses. Does that make sense? You can't touch it, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't hear it. Tika? That is ilm al-ghayb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first attribute is they believe in the unseen. And the unseen meaning the day of judgment, Jahannam, Jannah, the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything else that Allah has ordered us to believe in and informed us of. The second attribute is that they establish salah. And they give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that which Allah has given to them. A part of that which Allah has given to them. So that's three attributes. So namaz and zakat has been mentioned. But roza and fasting and hajj has not been mentioned because they weren't fard when this verse was revealed. And the fourth one is that they believe in that which was revealed towards you, towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to believe in everything, this is iman. Iman is al-imanu tasdiqun bima ja'a bihi an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought from Allah, to believe in that firmly in your heart and to speak it with your tongue is iman. So the fourth attribute of a believer is that he believes in everything that was revealed towards Allah, towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fifth attribute is وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, that which was revealed before you, meaning upon all the other prophets. And in this, there is a refutation of the Jews and the Christians, because the Jews used to say that Allah has given us Tawrat, we don't need to believe in any other book, we believe in the Tawrat, that is enough for us. The Christians used to believe that Allah has revealed Injil upon us, that is enough for us, we don't need to believe in any other book that was revealed to another prophet. So Allah refutes that is not enough. You have to believe in everything that was revealed to your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and everything that was revealed before. And if you ponder over this verse a bit more deeper, then you can see that in this verse there is a refutation of the Qadianis as well. Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, who claimed to be a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a refutation of Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani in this part of this verse. Can anybody tell me how? Hafiz Sab,
what's the meaning of
that which was revealed to you and that which was revealed before you? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here didn't say وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, that which was revealed to you, وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, and that which was revealed before, وَمَا
for the future, there's no future.
And that which will reveal after you. There is no mention of that. Which means the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final prophet. Because in the previous books, it mentioned the coming of the Qur'an, that they must believe in the Qur'an when it comes after them. But here in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention anything after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this verse proves that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin, and that there is no prophet or messenger to come after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the fifth attribute is that they believe, the believers are those who believe in everything that was revealed before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And the ulama kiram of Aqidah, Ilm al-Kalam, they say that it is necessary upon every believer to believe in everything that was revealed upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bit tafsil, with detail, to believe in every part of the Quran. And upon everything that was revealed upon the previous prophets, bil ijmal, overall you have to believe it, not with detail. And the sixth attribute is وَبِلْ أَخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, and they believe in the last day, bil akhirah, they believe in the end, they have yaqeen on the end, which means they know with certainty that the final day will occur. And akhir, the word akhir means last, reason why is because the day of judgment will be the final day. And after somebody possesses them six attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, they are upon guidance from their Lord. They are upon guidance from their Lord. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given this guidance to them. So from this part of the verse, we also learn that guidance comes from whom?
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guidance comes from Allah. Thus, we have not done a favor upon Allah by becoming on the right path. That, oh Allah, I am following your right path, I have done you this favor. No. We have not done a favor upon Allah by coming onto the right path and by performing salah. It is Allah who has given us a favor and chosen us to be on the right path and to establish our salah. and be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَدِيَ لَهُ. It is Allah who guides and it is Allah who gives misguidance. And when somebody has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be on the right path, then Allah says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, that they are the ones upon success. They are the successful ones. And falah, falah means all types of success. So there is complete success for those people. They will go into khuld, jannah forever. They will go into eternal bliss. And the condition is that you die with iman. These six verses were in regards, or five verses, were in regards to the mu'mineen, the khalis believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who believe in Islam in the correct manner. And as I mentioned last lesson, that after the verses of in regards to the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about two verses about the non-believers. Those non-believers who will not accept in accordance to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, verily those who committed kufr. إِنَّ comes for emphasis. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, verily those who have committed kufr. سَوَاءٌ, سَوَاءٌ means it is the same. برابر ہے, it is the same. عَلَيْهِمْ, for them. It is the same for them. أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ, whether you put fear in their hearts or you don't put fear in their hearts. Whether you warn them or you do not warn them. Whether you pass them the message of Allah or you do not pass the message of Allah to them. لا يؤمنون, they will not believe. What do we understand? That verily those people who have committed kufr, it is the same whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they will not believe. The shan-e nuzul, the reason for revelation of this verse, is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after coming from Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was very upset. He was very upset that he had passed the message to people like Abu Jahl, to people like Abu Lahab, and others from amongst the kuffar of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and he showed them mu'jizat, miracles, yet they still did not accept. They still did not accept Islam. And because of that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt upset. And in a verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ, that it seems as though you will give your life in trying to convert these people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring peace and satisfaction and tranquility in the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, revealed this verse that don't worry, don't become upset. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ, it is not upon you but simply to pass the message. Verily there are those kuffar, and this is talking about people like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab only. So this is not about all those who committed kufr. This verse is specifically about those kuffar whom, according to the knowledge of Allah, are not going to accept no matter what. So in regards to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to satisfy the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that don't feel upset and don't worry, it is not your fault, you have fulfilled your duty. You will still be rewarded for the passing of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people, they will not accept. It is in the knowledge of Allah. Allah has not chosen guidance for them. Allah has chosen misguidance for them. And in the tafsir of this verse, in tafsir-e-Khazin, it mentions that there are four types of kufr. There are four different types of kufr. First of all, there is kufr-e-inkari. Kufr-e-inkari is when a person does not believe in Islam, believe in the truth in his heart, and he doesn't say it with his tongue. This is called kufr-e-inkari. The second type is kufr-e-juhudi. Kufr-e-juhudi is when a person, he doesn't accept Islam with his tongue, but he knows that the truth is Islam in his heart. He knows it in his heart. He doesn't express it with his tongue. These are like the Jews. They knew that Islam was the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a verse of the Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the true Prophet of Allah in the same way as they knew that this child is my son. The Jews and the Christians knew that this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Muhammad is the Prophet and Messenger of Allah who was promised to us, in the same way as they knew that this is my child, this is my daughter. That's how much they knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the truth. Yet they still did not accept. And then there is a kufr-e inadi. Kufr-e inadi is when you say it with your tongue, you know it is the truth, you believe it in your heart, you know it's the truth, yet you still do not submit to Islam. You still do not accept Islam. And there is another one that I can't remember at the moment. But these are different types of kufr. There are different stages of kufr. So there, you will find some people who knew that Islam was the truth, yet they didn't say it with their tongue, they didn't accept. Then you will find those who even accepted it from their tongue. They didn't submit to Islam, but they said that, yes, I know it is the truth, but I won't accept. And they believed it in their hearts as well, but they didn't accept. This was due to animosity, enmity they had against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this verse, if somebody was to read it without understanding the background of it, its apparent translation, verily those who have committed kufr, it is the same whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they will not believe. If you look at the verse in its apparent meaning, it means every single non-believer, everyone who committed kufr, which would mean that there's no point passing the message of Allah anymore. However, that's not what it means. And this shows the importance of understanding the tafsir of the Quran and looking into the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and understanding why a verse was revealed. Now that we know that this verse was specifically revealed about those kuffar like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab who were not to accept Islam no matter what. And in regards to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the second verse, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stamped their hearts. Allah has sealed their hearts, which means that their hearts cannot accept any more guidance. وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sealed their ears, so they cannot hear the truth. If you try to shout the truth into their ears, they will still not be able to hear the truth. They will not be able to benefit from the truth, and their hearts will not be able to benefit from the truth. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةً. And upon their eyes, upon their sight, there is a veil, so they cannot see the truth. There is a veil between their eyesight and the truth, so they cannot benefit from the truth and they cannot see the truth. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And for them is a severe punishment. Azim means that which has azma. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for them is great punishment, which means very severe punishment. An awful punishment is awaiting for them. So these people, like Abu Jahl and Abu Talib, they, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, split the moon into two for them, to prove to them that he is a Prophet of Allah and Messenger of Allah. He showed them many other different miracles where trees ripped themselves out of the earth, ripped their roots out of the earth, and they came and bowed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet these people still did not accept. About them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it does not make any difference to them whether you pass them the message or you don't pass them the message. They will not accept. However, it is your duty to pass the message. Once you have passed the message, you have fulfilled your duty. Leave them be it now. And why is that? Because their eyes have a veil, their ears are sealed, and their hearts are sealed. They are deaf, dumb, and blind from the truth. They will not accept anything. From this verse, we also learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how dearly He loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with affection. And Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in one of the very famous hadith, says that I have seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very haste in fulfilling the wishes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and coming to the help of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is an example of it. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset and he felt down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse straight away to make the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam feel better. So in our day-to-day lives, we might find some people who we give the message of Allah to, and they understand everything, they realize it is the truth, yet some people will not accept, because it is not in their destiny to accept. And this is not saying that they are not to blame, because Allah has given that in their destiny. It is not like that. An example of it is a person who goes to a doctor, and the doctor says to this person that this medicine is good for you and this is like poison for you. If you take this, then you will die. And if you take this, it will give you good health. And the person goes away and he's understood everything. He accepts that, yes, this will give me good and it will give me good health. This will kill me. This is poison. Yet he still goes and drinks the poison. So it's his fault. Who's to blame? He's to blame. Because he has been made aware, yet he still doesn't follow the awareness. In the same way, these kuffar, like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, they are to blame themselves because they chose that. And when we say that there is no guidance for them, then that means in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah revealed this verse. So these two verses are regarding those kuffar who are not to accept. So first we understood verses of the believers and then the verses of the kuffar. The next 13 verses in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah are in regards to the munafiqeen. And these are the worst of all people. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They are in the most severe part of Jahannam. Because a munafiq is he who is different on the outside to his inside. His inside is different to his outside. And you can have different types of munafiqeen. A munafiq fil amal. A munafiq fil amal is a person who in action is different inside and different outside. Which means that he tells you to do this and do that. You must never ever do this. This is wrong. And then he does it himself. Okay, that is a munafiq. And the English translation to the word munafiq is a hypocrite. Okay, a hypocrite. So a munafiq fil amal, a munafiq fil aqidah, a munafiq in his actions, a munafiq in his beliefs. Then you have a munafiq mujahid, an open hypocrite whose hypocrisy is apparent, and you have a munafiq ghayr mujahid whose hypocrisy is not apparent. Okay, so mujahid is the word, is from the word jahar. Yeah, you have a jahri salah, loud, open. The mujahid means a munafiq whose nifaq, whose hypocrisy is apparent, and a munafiq ghayr mujahid is he whose hypocrisy is not apparent. Okay, so for example, we have a hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, and it's mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, where he says that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was kufr and there was nifaq. There was kufr and there was nifaq. إِنَّمَا النِّفَاقُ فِي زَمَانِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was nifaq, there was hypocrisy. However, he says, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is either kufr or iman. You are either a kafir or you are either a mu'min, a Muslim. One of the two. There is no in between. There is no nifaq anymore. This hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, this is talking about the munafiq ghayr mujahid. That munafiq whose nifaq is not apparent, whose hypocrisy is not apparent. Because in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we had believers, we had the kafir, and then we had those in between whose hypocrisy was not apparent, but Allah would inform us through wahi. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would inform us that these people are munafiq through his knowledge of the unseen that Allah had given to him. So in that time we had that. But now we don't have the wahi being revealed anymore. Now we don't have the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst us anymore. And thus now there is either kafir or there is mu'min. And that's talking about the munafiq غير مجاهد, whose nifaq, whose hypocrisy is not apparent. But later, the ulama ikram, they explained this hadith, and they said that this hadith is specifically talking about غير مجاهد, that munafiq whose nifaq is not apparent, so we don't know. That isn't anymore, because now we have no such munafiqin, because we wouldn't know. They will exist, but we will either put them amongst the Muslims, or we will put them amongst the kafirs. However, as for the munafiq mujahid, whose nifaq, whose hypocrisy is apparent, they still exist. They still exist. Those people who will in front of you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and behind, or even in front of you, they will say, yes, I believe in that, but Muhammad's knowledge was less than the shaitan, for example. Like the Devbandis do. They will shout the kalima on top of the mountains that we are Muslims, we are believers. They will keep the long beards, they will wear the jubbas, the imamas, yet they will still commit kufr. They will still disrespect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In their books, it clearly says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie. Allah can lie. Ma'azallah. So this is an example of nifaqe mujahir, nifaqe jahar, apparent and open hypocrisy. So these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from amongst the people. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from amongst the people. مَنْ يَقُولُ, there are those who say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, we have believed in Allah and we have believed in the final day. So there are those amongst the people who say that we believe in Allah and we believe in the final day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are not believers. Who is saying this? Allah is saying this. We have people today who say to us, oh, when a person says he's a believer, then he's a believer. How can you say he's not? How can you say he's not? He has a beard. He prays namaz. You have to accept him as a believer. Who are we to say that they are not believers? But here, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that from amongst the people, there are those who say we believe in Allah, we believe in the Day of Judgment, and Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not believers. They are lying. They are not believers. So this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize those who are not believers yet claim to be believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in regards to them, كَيُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they are deceiving Allah, and nobody deceives Allah. They are trying to deceive Allah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and they are trying to deceive the believers. خَدَع means to deceive, to try and fool. These people are trying to fool Allah, and they are trying to fool the believers. These verses are in regards to the munafiqeen in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, Abdullah ibn Ubay and Ubay bin Khalaf. These people were munafiqeen. They were from amongst the Jews, and they used to come to the Muslims and they used to act like they are believers, and they used to say in front of the Sahaba ikram that we have brought iman just like you have brought iman. We are believers. We are Muslims. We believe in Allah. We believe in the final day. We believe that Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah. We believe that the Quran is the word of Allah. These people used to come and say this. They used to come and perform salah with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up to the extent that these people would go to jihad and they would fight in the battlefield with the Muslims. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are not believers. They are deceiving, they are trying to deceive Allah, and they are trying to deceive the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that they do not deceive but their own selves, and they don't even realize. They perceive not. They don't realize that they are deceiving themselves. So they think that they are very clever, very intellectual, that they are fooling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'adallah. And there's a hadith in the explanation of this verse when Abdullah ibn Ubay with his group of munafiqeen was once walking on the pathway, and opposite to them was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala coming. And Abdullah ibn Ubay says to his group, he says, watch how I fool these people. And he comes to them and he takes the hand of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and holds it in his hand and he says, oh Abu Bakr, you are the most great person I have known. You are truthful, you are honest, you are a very nice man, you are a very devoted man. And then he says that I am a Muslim with you all, we are all together. And then he takes the hand of Umar and he says the same. And then he tries to take the hand of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that, oh Abdullah ibn Ubay, fear Allah. Because remember, these people believed in Allah. He says, fear Allah and accept Iman in the same way as we have accepted Iman. Otherwise, prepare yourself for Jahannam. You will burn in the fire of hell forever. And he starts saying that, no, I already believe like you. He thought that Abu Bakr didn't know. He thought that Umar didn't know. He thought that Ali radiallahu ta'ala didn't know. They did know. They were waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to open their deceit, to make apparent their hypocrisy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it apparent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that there are people amongst you who say that we believe in Allah, we believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dearly, he was the greatest human being, we believe everything, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't be deceived by these people, don't be fooled by these people, they are not believers, they are trying to deceive you, they are trying to deceive Allah, however, they do not realize the truth is that they are deceiving their own selves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضْ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضْ. In their hearts is an illness, which is this hypocrisy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that hypocrisy is an illness. It's an illness, which means it affects your spirituality. It affects your ruhaniya. It affects your ruh, because it's an illness. It's a spiritual illness to be a hypocrite. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is an illness in their hearts. The truth is in front of them, yet they can't accept it because of this illness in their heart. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased them in this illness. Meaning Allah increases it. If that is what they want, then Allah gives them leave. That take what you want. Allah gives free will to them. That if that is what you want, then take it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for them is a painful punishment. For the kuffar, Allah said there is عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. There is a great punishment, a severe punishment. And for the munafiqeen, for the hypocrites, those people who with their tongues make apparent that they are believers, but they are not believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for them is عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And wherever Allah has mentioned these people, it has always been alim, which means painful. And in Tafsir al-Jalalain and in other tafsirs of the Quran, it clearly says that the word alim means mu'lam or mu'lim. It can mean both. And this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah uses the word alim, which means mu'lim, which means that which gives pain. And mu'lam means that which feels pain itself. And the Mufassirin al-Kiram say that it means mu'lam. Mu'lam is a more baligh meaning it is more eloquent in speech. Mu'lam meaning for them is a punishment so severe that the punishment itself feels pain. That is how severe the punishment for the munafiqeen is. For those people who are apparently Muslims, yet they are not in accordance to the truth believers. They are not. They are liars and they are hypocrites. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that why is this severe punishment for them? Such punishment that the punishment itself feels pain. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. because of that which they have lied. Tika, what have they lied about? Amanna billah, we believe in Allah, wa bil akhirah, and we believe in the wa bil yawmil akhirah, and in the day of judgment. This lie that they have committed, for this reason, for this hypocrisy, there is a punishment in which the punishment feels pain itself. Tika? And there is another qira'ah. There is another qira'ah. As we know, there are different qira'at in the Quran, qira'at. And another qira'at, in another qira'at, it says, bima kanu yukadhibun. This says yakdhibun, which is the qira'at al-hafs, our qira'ah. But in another qira'at, it says, bima kanu yukadhibun, because of that which they reject. And that is rejecting Nabiyyallah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So kanu yakdhibun or yukadhibun. Tika? And when we say yakdhibun, it means that which they have lied about, which is to lie about iman, being a believer. And yukadhibun means to reject, to not accept. And then in that case, it would mean the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For them not accepting and rejecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the state of the munafiqeen. So from this we all should learn that there are people who live amongst us who claim to be Muslims, who dress as Muslims, who apparently seem to be believers, but they are not believers. And from these verses we also learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes apparent their hypocrisy. Allah makes it apparent. No matter how much they will hide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open it, and He will make the believers aware of it, and Allah will show it to the believers. And that is why when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he stood on the minbar and he said the name of each of the munafiqeen that were present, and he said, oh, such and such, the son of such and such, leave us, for you are verily a munafiq. فَإِنَّكَ munafiq. You are verily a munafiq. And every single one was individualed out, and they were told to leave, for they were disbelievers, they were munafiqeen. They used to think that they were mocking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he did not know, but the truth was that he did know. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did know, and it was a lesson for us who come after, that remember, there will be people who will live amongst you, who will be deceitful, they will try to deceive you, but Allah will make it apparent. And this is the reason why the ulama kiram say that those people who are munafiq in our day and age, Allah will make it apparent through their own pens. They with their own hands will make it apparent. They will write kufriyat and nifaq in their books, and that's what they've done. The Devbandis have done that, the Shias have done that, all the other sects, Ibn Taymiyyah, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Najd, they've all done that. They've all made their hypocrisy apparent in their own books. They have written themselves their hypocrisy. So we should remember that there are people who live amongst us who seem to be believers, but they are not believers. They have different agendas in their hearts, and they commit kufr, and they still claim to be Muslims. These are the worst of all people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And when you do the difference, the ulama kiram say there are different types of disbelievers. For example, the kafir-e-asli. The kafir-e-asli is he who will come in front of you as a non-believer. He will dress like a non-believer. He will show you no sign of deceit in his religion. He will openly express what he believes. This is a kafir-e-asli. And with such people, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had dealings with them, and it is permissible for us to have dealings with them as well. Then you have those who are munafiq, who have kufre nifaq, and kufre nifaq is the fourth type of kufr that I was mentioning before: kufre inkari, kufre juhudi, kufre inadi, and kufre nifaq. Kufre nifaq is those people who openly express Islam. They submit to Islam in their hearts. They know that Islam is the truth. In their hearts, but they don't believe in Islam. Whether they know that it is the truth or they don't believe it. That is kufr nifaq. And these people will come to you as Muslims. They will dress as Muslims. They will perform salah in the same way as you perform salah. And they are deceitful. they are a more threat to your iman than a kafir asli. Because a kafir asli will not try to deceive you. He will express his religion and his beliefs. These people will hide their beliefs. These people will be deceitful. And they will act as though they believe in exactly what you believe. And the Shias are a very good example of this. Because the Shias believe taqiyya, to hide, to be deceitful, is part of their faith. That is part of their iman. In the same way as our iman is to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their part of their iman is to do taqiyya, to be deceitful, to say something else on the outside and something else on the inside. If you meet a Shia, he will say to you that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is the most superior. He was the best friend of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the first Khalifa, the rightful first Caliph. They will say that in front of you. But in his heart he won't believe it. And this is how they justify Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala giving imara to Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. When we say to them that Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala himself, the son of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself gave imara to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, yet how can you swear and slander at Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala when he believed him worthy of a sahabi of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and worthy of becoming the Amir of the Mu'mineen, Amirul Mu'mineen? That they say that was taqiyya. Meaning Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was ma'azallah deceiving everybody. He was deceiving the whole world, all the believers, ma'azallah. This is the type of things that the Shias believe. Very deceitful people. They will come to you as they are one of you. They believe the same as you, but they will hide their actual beliefs in their hearts. In regards to the munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, and when it is said to them, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, do not cause mischief in the earth. Do not cause mischief on the earth. What kind of mischief? By deceit, lies, and misguidance, and kufr, and hypocrisy. This is all mischief in the earth, on the earth. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, and when it is said to them, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, do not commit mischief on the earth. قَالُوا, they said, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ, we are the peacemakers. We are not the ones committing mischief. We are the ones who are performing islah on the earth, meaning spreading good on the earth. And this is again when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to Abdullah ibn Ubay that fear Allah and accept Islam as we accept Islam. Do not cause this mischief. This is what he replied. That we are believers, we are the peacemakers, we are trying to spread the good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't believe them. When they say this to you, don't believe them. Ala innahum humul mufsidun. Be aware. Ala means be aware. Innahum. Again, emphasis. Ala innahum. Be aware that verily they, humul mufsidun, they are the ones that are committing mischief. They, no matter how many times they say we are not, we are not, we are not, they are. They are committing mischief. Why? Because it has become apparent. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and some of them they don't even realize. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, some of them they think they are doing the right thing. They think that they are on the correct path. What they are doing is right. Like the Shias think that they are doing right. They are being rewarded for this deceit that they are doing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no, they are not believers. They are committing mischief on the earth. And when they say we are not committing mischief, we are spreading good, then Allah says, "Ala innahum humul mufsiduna walakin la yashurun." Verily, be aware that they are the mischief, the ones who are causing mischief on the earth, and they don't even realize it. And that is why you'll see all these different sects, people who come to you as Muslims, who come to you with the same dress as you have. They worship Allah in the same way as we worship Allah, and they, some of them don't even realize that they are causing mischief, they are causing disbelief in Islam, they are being hypocrites towards Islam. On one hand they say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدَنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. They believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, yet on the other hand they are disrespecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are disbelieving in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one hand they believe that Allah is Subhan, He is the most pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as-saduq, He is the most truthful. Yet on the other hand they are believing that Allah can lie, and ma'azallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lied or will lie by khalfe wa'id, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give the punishment that He has promised to people, and that is a form of lying, ma'azallah. Things like this. So these people don't even realize that they are wrong. They think that they are on the right path. So we must be aware of these people, and Allah is making us aware of these people in the very beginning of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا, and when it is said to them that believe, آمِنُوا, believe, accept iman, كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, in the same way as the people have believed. And here an-nas means the sahaba ikram or the believers, those who have believed, people like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, believe in the same way as these people have believed. When that is said to them, like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said to Abdullah ibn Ubay, qalu, they said, anu'minu kama amana sufaha, shall we believe in the same way as the foolish people have believed? Which means these people will regard people like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, and Uthman Ghani and Ali Murtada Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in as fools, as stupid people. Safih, Safih is a daft person, is an idiot, is a stupid person. And these people used to call the Sahaba Ikram daft, stupid and idiots. In the same way as we have people today who call Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala and such names, in them days they called the Sahaba Ikram with such names, Sufaha. When they were told to accept Iman as the Sahaba Ikram have, they would say that shall we believe in the same way as the daft people have believed, the stupid people have believed? Ma'azallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies from the Sahaba Ikram in favor of the Sahaba Ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala innahum humus sufaha, that be aware, verily they are the daft people, verily they are the stupid people, they are the foolish people. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, yet they do not know. They do not know. They are the ones who are fools. They are the ones who are stupid, but they do not know. From this we learn that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people who were on the truth, they were called stupid, they were called daft, they were called safih, they were called jahil. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies from those people and says that no, the truth is that those people who are on the truth, they are the muslihun, they are the people who are spreading good in the world, and the people who are calling them stupid, they are the ones who are actually stupid and fools. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and when they meet with those who believe, like this incident of Abdullah ibn Ubay with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when they meet with those who believe, قَالُوا آمَنَّا, they said, we believe. We also believe in the same way as you believe. As they were saying to Abu Bakr Siddiq, and not only to them, they were always living amongst the Muslims. They would live amongst them, they would go to fight amongst them, and they would say this, that we are believers just like you are. So Allah says, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا, when they met with those who were believers, they would say that we also believe. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ, and when they were alone with their shayateen, with their devils, when they were in, when they were alone with their devils and their people, قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ, they would say that verily we are with you. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ, verily we were just mocking them. What does this mean? First of all, what this means is that when they would come amongst the Muslims, they would say that we are believers just like you are. And then they would go back to their Jewish people, all the non-Muslims, the non-believers. And they would say to the non-believers and the non-Muslims that we are with you all. We are with you. With them lot, we were just mocking them. Because sometimes they would doubt that they have accepted Islam as well. Because they knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character was so beautiful that anybody who sat with him would believe in him. So these people would doubt, and that's why they would come and they would confirm that we are just mocking them. We are mocking Muhammad. We are mocking the companions of Muhammad. The truth is that we are with you. We are with you. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word shayateenihim. Shayateen is the plural of shaytan, which means the devil, the Satan. And Allah uses this word for people, for the disbelievers, the Jewish people who supported these hypocrites. From this we learn, and the fuqaha kiram say that it is permissible to use the word shaytan for a human when he has or when he possesses the attributes of shaitan. When somebody commits haram, like the shaitan, which is the act of shaitan, to commit haram, then you can call him a shaitan. Okay? Due to his haram act. In the same way as when we see a person who has a lot of courage, we call him a lion. When we see a person who is extremely loyal, we call him a dog, because he's so loyal. That in the same way, if somebody possesses the attributes of shaitan, possesses the attributes of kufr, nifaq, hypocrisy and haram, then we can call him shaitan. Not only that, it is the sunnah of Allah to call such people shaitan. Sometimes people say, ke, ye log sirf galiya dete, these people, they just swear at others and this and that. But when you call another person a shaitan because of his haram act, or his kufr, or his hypocrisy, and people say that this is wrong. But here in the Quran, it clearly says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word shaitan for them. Okay? Once, one of our ulama-i kiram was doing a speech and he used the word shaitan for the misguided sects, for the sects which apparently claim to be Muslims yet they commit kufr. So this hypocrisy. And because of this, he said that ye sab shaitan log hai, and the people, some of the people who were sulah kulli, people who side with everybody, try and please all the different sects. Some of these people, they started saying that, oh, the Mawlana swears in his speech. How can he swear on the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying shaitan to somebody is a swear, and he is swearing at the Devbandis, which is wrong. That the Mawlana said to them, he quoted this verse of the Quran and he says to them that this is the verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself uses the word shaitan for such hypocrites and such people who possess the qualities of, who possess the attributes of shaitan. And then the Mawlana said to them that if you think that this is swearing, then in salah, when you perform salah, why do you recite these verses of the Quran? Does that mean you are swearing in namaz? When you perform Taraweeh Salah, you go through the whole Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word swine for some people and said that they are worse than donkeys, and the word shaitan, then why do you recite these verses if you believe that these are swears? How would somebody swear in their Salah? So the truth is that they are not swears when they are used rightfully. And they have said to their disbelievers, their people, when they go back to their people after trying to deceive the believers, that we are innama nahnu mustahzi'un, we are mocking the believers and Muhammad ma'azallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performs istihza with them, and istihza means to mock. The literal meaning of istihza is to mock. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from mocking. Thus this verse is from amongst the mutashabihat. Istihza, where Allah has used the word istihza for himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mock. So, What does this mean? First of all, for example, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, as I mentioned before, he doesn't translate these words. That which is from amongst the mutashabihat, Imam Ahmad Raza leaves it like this. For example, he says here, Allah unse istihza farmata hai. He leaves the word istihza as the word istihza. But if you look into the tafsir, like in tafsir al-Jalalain and other tafasir, it says that to understand this, to protect ourselves from those people who say that Allah mocks as well, we say that here it means Allah replies to their mocking. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, Allah replies to their mocking. That's what it means. And it doesn't mean that Allah mocks. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to their mocking. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them leave to wander blindly in their misguidance. Yani, some people say that if Allah knows, then why doesn't Allah punish them? If Babri Masjid is the house of Allah and Allah is the truth, then when these people are destroying the Babri Masjid, why is Allah not doing anything? If all these Muslims in Palestine are truthful and Islam is the true religion, then why is Allah not doing anything? Some people are so daft that they go up to the extent that they say that if these peers and these awliya-i-kiram exist in this world, then why are they not doing anything? Why are they not doing anything to help the people in Palestine? To make such comments is not wise, because you can make the same comment about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can say that if Allah is the truthful and Allah does exist, then why isn't Allah doing anything? Theka? The answer to that is here. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them leave. Gives them leave to wander blindly in their misguidance. Let them carry on. The more they will do here, the more they will be punished on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Halim. There's one word which is sabr, which is patience. And there is another word which is hilm. Hilm with a ha, lam and meem. Hilm and sabr. Sabr is patience. Hilm is also patience. Okay, but there's a difference in hilm and sabr. Allah is as-sabur, meaning Allah is the most patient. Allah is al-halim, which again means Allah is the most patient. The difference in hilm and sabr is that sabr can be when a person has the power to take revenge. Sorry, a person who is patient can be somebody who does not have the power to change things, does not have the power to take revenge, and thus he remains patient. Okay? Such person will be known as a sabir. Okay? A person who doesn't have the power to change things, and a person who doesn't have the power to take revenge, he will also be labeled as a sabir. He's a patient person. He has sabr in him. But when a person has the power to change things, he has the power to take revenge, yet he doesn't, he still practices patience, then that person is labeled as al-halim. Meaning, he is so patient that even though he can change things and he can take revenge, he will still not do that. He is al-halim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most, the possessor of hilm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that reason, he lets people do what they want, gives them free will, and does not interfere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them leave. And this is an example of that. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make apparent their misguidance, their hypocrisy, until a later period of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers their istihza, answers their mocking, and gives them leave to wander blindly. Ya'mahoon fi tughyanihim. Ya'mahoon means to wander blindly, fi tughyanihim, in their misguidance and in their transgression. And this word istihza, he reminds me. Istihza reminds me of an incident which I've mentioned before in some of my speeches, where the people of Makkah, they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a different topic now, moved away from the topic, but because the word istihza has come, when the Quran was revealed upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah, many of these people who tried to prove that the Quran is not the word of Allah, and they tried to prove that this is the word of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has made it up, or it is from somebody else that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bringing these verses, they tried to gather proof against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once the kuffar of Makkah came and they said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking up this challenge to prove the Quran as not the word of Allah, they said that the Quran has a few words in it which are not eloquent in the Arabic language. They are not fasih, they are not baligh, they are against fasaha and balagha, meaning they are weak, and Allah is free from using such words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam has to be the best of all speech, the best of all kalam. And thus, these words that we find in the Quran prove that this cannot be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the words? They say, first of all, the word istihza. Istihza, this is the word. Yastahzi'u. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never use such word, because this word is not eloquent in the Arabic language. It is not from amongst the fasih and baligh words in the Arabic language. And thus, it is impossible for it to be the kalam of Allah. What other word? The word kubbar. The word kubbar is not from amongst the eloquent words in the Arabic language, and thus it is impossible for Allah to use such words. The third word is ujab. Kubbar means very big. You say kabir, kabir means big. Kubbar means very big, an exaggerating noun. It has exaggeration in the meaning of big. So kabir, kubbar. Kubbar means very big, and Allah uses the word kubbar in the Quran. And the word ujab, which is the exaggeration of ajib, which means extremely amazing, meaning it amazes the mind. It's ajib, it's strange, extremely strange. It amazes the mind, that's how strange it is. So these three words, they are not from amongst the eloquent words in the Arabic language, and thus this cannot be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, and that these are eloquent words, and these words are used by the masters of the Arabic language, and they decide that they will find a decider amongst us who will prove who is right and who is wrong. So who will show to us whether these words are eloquent or they are not eloquent? So they find this poet of the Arabic language, this man who was so famous amongst them that his poetry was on the highest level. He was known as the greatest speaker of the Arabic language in that time. And I can't remember his name, but he was a man who secluded himself from the people. He moved away from the people. The reason why he moved away from them is because he says that I have seen that the people are dropping in language. The level of the Arabic language is falling. And if I live amongst the people, then my language will also fall because of the sahaba of you. So thus he separated himself, he excluded himself from these people. And he was living alone so that he could keep his Arabic to such a high stance and level. So these people go to this man and they bring him to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and decide. And he was so old that they had to carry him from each side. His eyebrows were so long that he would have to raise his head to look. This is how old this man was. And they bring him in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came to show that the word istihza, the word kubbar, and the word ujab were not eloquent, and they would never be used by eloquent people. Okay, so this is the man who they believe is the most eloquent of them all from mankind, according to them. And he comes and stands in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people of Makkah have gathered, because it's a drama, it's a show for them. They all gathered and they were all watching this challenge that they have taken up against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as soon as this man comes, they bring him in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, "Ijlis, sit down." So the old man, after struggling, sits down. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, "Qum, stand up." After he sat down, after struggle, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him to stand again. So this man, after a lot of struggle, stands up. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam again says to him, "Ijlis." After he stood, he says to him, "Sit down again." He sits down after a lot of struggle, and then he says, "Qum, stand again." He stands up again. And the third time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, "Ijlis, sit." The man becomes furious and he says, "Anta tastahzi'u bi? Are you mocking me?" He uses the word istihza. He says, "Anta tastahzi'u bi? Are you mocking me? Wa ana shaykhun kubbar, and I am a very big old man. I am a very old man." So he uses the word kubbar. And he says, "Inna hadha la shay'un ujab. Verily, this is an extremely strange and something that puts my mind to amazement thing that you are doing." So in one sentence, in one paragraph, he uses three sentences in which he uses all three words. This was a miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he had such a great intellect that he could make a man say what he wanted to say. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's manners, the style that he did it in, is extremely amazing as well. So that proved to the people of Makkah that they were wrong again, and the others who came to watch, they laughed at these people. They found it absolutely amusing that these people thought that they could prove the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrong, but they couldn't. And that is why Imam Ahmad Raza radiyallahu ta'ala says, "Ke tere aage yu hai dabe lache, fusaha arab ke bade bade, koi jaane muh mein zaba nahi, nahi balke jism mein ja nahi." That these people, when they came in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to prove that the Quran is wrong, they stood there like they had no tongues in their mouths, but actually they stood as though they had no body, no soul in there, no life in their bodies. They stood like statues, in shame, when they were proven wrong. So that's the word istihza. And from today's lesson, we have learnt about the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And in the next few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples of our day-to-day lives, of how these munafiqeen are. Examples for us to understand what these people are doing, how these people are selling their akhirah for misguidance in this world. Okay, how they are selling the good for the bad, and they are buying the evil instead of the good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next few verses talks about the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in this world to prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Like the system of rain and how the crops grow on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them, signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remember what we learn, and give us the tawfiq to learn more. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah has spoke the truth, and verily the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has as well. Jazakumullah khair wa kafar. Maghrib salah, and then we'll do a bit of hadith. Okay? Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Any questions from the tafsir session? Anybody have any questions? Anything they need to understand? More explanation? No? No questions? Okay, anybody remember the last hadith that we went through in the last lesson? Hadith on Iman. What do you remember, Hafizah?
I remember that Kamil Iman, a person who has Kamil Iman, he'll fear that he will lose his Iman. But a person who doesn't have Iman, he won't fear of losing it because he doesn't have it.
We learn the hadith of different stages of Iman. As this is the chapter of Iman, there are 31 hadith in this chapter, in this book, regarding Iman. The last hadith that we heard was narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imanu ma'rifatun bil-qalb wa qawlun bil-lisan wa amalun bil-arkan. And this is a hadith from Ibn Majah, that Iman is to recognize with your heart, recognition of the heart, meaning to recognize the truth with the heart, وَقَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ, and to speak the truth with your tongue, وَعَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ, and to act upon the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Iman is a compound of these three different things. Just to believe in the heart is not enough, just to speak it is not enough, just to act it is not enough. All of them together, that is what makes a person's Iman complete. To believe in your heart, to speak with your tongue, and to carry out with your actions. That is complete Iman. The next hadith, hadith number 4, narrated from Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. Anin Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he narrates from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Thalathun, there are three. Man kunna fihi wajada halawat al-Iman. There are three things. If these three things are in somebody, in a person, then he will taste, or he will attain the sweetness of Iman, the halawa of Iman. The word halwa, for sweet, halwa, we eat halwa, is from the word halawa. Halawa is from the word halwa. So halawat al-Iman, the sweetness of Iman, will be attained by he or she who possesses these three qualities. So ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three. If one possesses these, then he will receive the sweetness of Iman. The first from amongst them is أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سَوَاهُمَا is that he, to him, Allah and His Messenger are more beloved. So Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than other than them to. Which means that they are the most beloved to that person. So if somebody in their heart loves Allah and His Messenger more than everybody else, then that's the first attribute. The second one, وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. That a man, that a person loves another person for no reason but for the sake of Allah. And the third, وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَيُّقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. And the person dislikes, or the person hates, returning into kufr, returning towards kufr, bearing in mind that Islam, this is the time when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present amongst them, people had left kufr and accepted Islam. So this is being told to them, that they dislike returning to kufr in the same way as they dislike being thrown into the fire of hell. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three. If a man possesses these three, then he or she will receive the sweetness of Iman. He must love Allah and His Messenger more than anybody else. If he loves another, then he must only do so for the sake of Allah, and that he must hate and dislike kufr, rejecting Allah, in the same way as he would dislike and hate being thrown into the fire of hell. When a person fulfills these three, and just listening to them, they might sound simple and easy, but they are not. To truthfully possess these three is not easy. And when a person does possess these three, then that person will attain and receive and taste the sweetness of Iman. What is the sweetness of Iman? The sweetness of Iman is, in another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you is a believer until his desire becomes in accordance to that which Allah has revealed. That is the sweetness of Iman. His desire, his own pleasure and desire, becomes in following the Islamic law. That has become the nature of his desire and his pleasure, that he loves everything that Allah has ordered, and he finds joy in doing it, he finds pleasure in doing it, and he dislikes and he hates that which Allah has forbidden. That is when a person has attained sweetness of Iman. For example, when a person wakes up in the morning and it is absolutely cold and there is no hot water, there's no boiler. For example, you look in the countries where they have no boilers and none of this system. They wake up in the cold weather and the water is freezing. A person goes to do wuzu in that cold water and he loves it. He is finding pleasure in it. He enjoys it. Every time that water touches his skin, no matter how cold it is, he feels joy in his heart. His heart is filled with joy. His mind and his soul and everything just feels so much happiness, and he loves doing this. That is when a person has received the sweetness of Iman, halawatul Iman. He loves everything that he does, which he knows that he will be rewarded for. So to reach that status, a person has to love Allah and His Messenger more than anybody else. And this is not easy. To love Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything else, that is not easy. There's a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam which says that when a person loves another, then it becomes apparent in his outer appearance. So if somebody loves Allah and His Messenger more than anybody else, then it would show in the outer appearance. People say that, oh, it's not about the outer appearance, it's all about what's in the heart. It's not. It holds the same importance to have your outer appearance representing Islam and the love of Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as your inner does. They both have to be representing Islam. So when a person loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will show in his outer appearance, it will show in his character, it will show in his manners, it will show in the way he does things, it will show in the worship he does that he loves Allah, and it will show in his speech, when he talks, what he says. It will all show that he loves Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to love Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else, then that would also show in his actions and his speech and his dress code and everything else. Making sure that his clothes are always clean and pure. Allah is pure and He likes pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like filth and dirt and impurities. So the person will always remain clean and pure. And that is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person loves another, he must only do so for the sake of Allah, the second attribute. That means that when you love another person, you should love them only because Allah has ordered you to love them. When you love another Muslim brother, It's because Allah orders us to love one another. When you love your own partner, it's because Allah has ordered you to love your partner. When you love your parents, it's because Allah has ordered us to love our parents. We love our children, it's because Allah has ordered us to love our children. When every single thing that you love is solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have fulfilled the second attribute. And the third attribute is to dislike kufr, to dislike rejecting Islam and to be falling out of Islam. You must dislike and hate that in such a manner that you must learn what takes you out of Islam, what keeps you in Islam. And you will learn it and you will make sure you stay away from that which can take you out of Islam. And as there is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that halal is apparent, haram is apparent, and in between there is the doubtful thing, that which is doubtful. And an example of a shepherd when he grazes his sheep inside the boundaries of his land, and on the boundaries he has a wall, and when the sheep are grazing inside that wall, he is absolutely fine with them. They are in halal. And on the other side of the wall there is haram, because that's not his land. As soon as the sheep jump onto the wall, which is the boundary, they are still not in haram, but the shepherd hits them with a stick to bring them back into his own land. The reason why he hits them is because he knows that now they have gone into the middle, it is very close that they will fall into haram. And the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person falls into the doubtful things, it is very close that he will commit haram, and when he falls into haram, it is very close that he will commit kufr. He will fall into kufr. And this is why when a person dislikes and hates kufr in the same way as he hates being thrown into the fire of hell, then he will abstain from that which is doubtful and that which is haram, to protect himself from falling into that which is kufr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to gain and attain halawatul iman, the sweetness of iman. The next hadith, hadith number 5, is narrated by Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. And this is a very famous hadith, and this hadith we all should learn off by heart. This is iman, this is our iman, this hadith. قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم سيدنا أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه says that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and this hadith is from Bukhari Sharif, the words are from Bukhari Sharif. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يؤمن أحدكم, none of you is a believer, none of you, حتى until لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you is a believer until I become more dear to him than his own father, than his own child, than every other human being, every other person, every other creation. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you is a believer until I become more beloved to him than his own father, than his own mother, than his own children, than his own wife, than his own husband, her own husband, than everybody else. When a person becomes so much in love with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you are a believer. And once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that who do you love the most? And he says, nafsi, myself. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you are not a complete believer. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala an says, ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, I love you more than I love my own self. And Al-An, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, now you are a complete believer. So to be a complete believer, you have to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. And love can be intentional and unintentional. Okay? One, you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it's the order of Allah to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And unintentionally, meaning you just love the person, you've fallen in love with them. And the ulama kiram say that for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iman for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them, you have to have both types of love. You have to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it's the order of Allah, and you have to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for every action he did. Why? بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because every attribute of his became beautiful. Every attribute of him reached the stage of kamal, excellence. Everything he did, the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he ate, the way he combed his hair, the way his hair was, the way his skin was, the color of his skin, everything became complete and excellence. That was the best it can ever be. And that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the conditions for a prophet is that he will have nothing, he will possess nothing from amongst actions or speech that would draw people away from him. They are free from such defects and faults. Every single prophet, it is impossible for him to possess something that would draw people away from him. Everything that they have, every quality, every action that they do, every character they have, is all has to be beautiful and excellent and complete. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most complete. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, for example, says, Husne Yusuf pe kati Misr mein angushte zana. That in Egypt, Husne Yusuf pe, on the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, kati angushte zana. The fingers of the women were cut. When the women of Egypt, who were known to be very strong hearted, the women of Egypt, who were known to be very strong-hearted, when they saw the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, their fingers got cut. Kati means unintentionally. Without intention, they got cut. The Husne Yusuf pe, just on the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, after seeing Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Kati Misr mein angushte zana. It was the fingers of the women that got cut in Egypt. Aur tere na aur sar katate hai tere naam pe mardane arab. And the state of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ke sar katate hai, not the fingers, the heads, and not the women, the men. Sar katate hai tere naam par, only on your name. There it was, they saw the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alaihi wasallam. Here they've not even seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they are giving their heads, sacrificing their heads. Sar katate hai tere naam pe mardane arab, the men of Arab. And the women of Egypt were known to be very soft hearted, not harsh. Okay, they were very soft and nurum, soft hearted. And the men of Arab are known to be stone hearted. They are known to be arrogant. The Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and he is comparing the difference that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was known as the most beautiful creation of Allah, yet the state of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beauty in front of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam's beauty is that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam's beauty, after seeing it, soft-hearted women's fingers got cut in Egypt, and here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so amazing that they have just heard how beautiful he was, and they are sacrificing their heads for that beauty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next hadith, narrated by Sayyidina Ribah ibn Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says, يَقُولُ حَدَّثَتْنِي جَدَّتِي. My grandmother said this hadith to me. My grandmother shared this hadith with me. أَنَّهَا سَمِعَتْ أَبَاهَا. She said that I heard my father. Okay, so she said she heard her father say. So Sayyidina Ribah ibn Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that my grandmother told me that she heard from her father. Her father said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sami'tu an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yaqul. And he said, yani the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata liman la wudu'a lah. La wudu'a lah. There is no salah for that person who has no wudu. If you've not performed wudu, then your salah is not there. No matter how much you stand up and go bow down, it doesn't make a difference. It's not salah, it's just an exercise, standing up and sitting down. So, لا صلاة لمن لا وضوء له ولا وضوء لمن لم يذكر الله تعالى. And there is no wudu for that person who has not mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you perform wudu and you don't say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the beginning, then there is no reward for your wudu. And here it says la wudu'a, there is no wudu for that person. What it means is there is no reward for that person's wudu. Okay? But here, there is no salah, means there is no salah. His salah is not valid, there is no reward, and the salah isn't even valid. And here, though there is no reward for your wudu if you have not mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ مَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ. And he is not a believer who does not believe. He who believes in Allah is not a believer until he believes in me as well. So there is no iman for that person who believes in Allah but does not believe in me. So you have to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the same way as there is no salah without wudu, there is no iman without believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says, وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِي مَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ الْأَنصَارِ. And he is not a believer who believes in me but does not love the Ansar. Who are the Ansar? The Ansar are the Sahaba Kiram of Madinatul Munawwara, who invited the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina, who protected the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and they accepted all the Muhajirin that came from Makkatul Mukarrama. The Muhajirin and the Ansar are very exalted amongst the Sahaba Ikram. The Muhajirin are those who lived in Mecca. The Ansar are those who lived in Medina. The Muhajirin left Makkatul Mukarrama. They left their homes. They migrated to Medina Sharif, and the Ansar helped them. They gave them shelter. They gave them a home to live in. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed muakhat between them. Muakhat made each one of them a brother of another one of them, and they all became brothers, up to the extent that those who had more than one wife, they gave divorce to their one of their wives and gave them to their brother, who was from amongst the Muhajirin. This is how much the Ansar did for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the religion Islam. They gave their food, their businesses, their wealth, and everything for the Muslims who had left Makkatul Mukarrama. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he who does not love the Ansar, they are not from amongst the believers. He who doesn't believe in me is not a believer, and he who doesn't love the Ansar is not a believer as well. And this is a lesson for the Shias, who swear at every single Sahabi, especially the Ansar, and they only believe in the Ahl Bayt and the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to love the Ansar. If you don't love the Ansar, then your belief is incomplete. Okay, in the same way as there is no reward for your wudu when you don't mention the name of Allah, there is no reward, there's no benefit in your iman if you do not love the Ansar. Okay, and I think 5 o'clock, so we'll close it here. Inshallah, we'll carry on next week. Okay, is there any questions that anybody needs to ask? This hadith was narrated by Sayyiduna Ribah ibn Abdul Rahman. He narrated it from his grandmother, and his grandmother narrated it from
her father.
Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any questions? Any questions?
Can you repeat that other ayah one more time?
Can you what?
Repeat the ayah one more time.
Which one?
The one And
that last hadith.
La wudu'a. Sorry, la salata liman la wudu'a lah.
No, the
following
one. Where you don't
love the prophet more than.
Anas ibn Malik. La yu'minu ahadukum. La yu'minu ahadukum. Hatta akuna. Hatta akuna. Ahabba. Ilayhi. Min walidihi, so it's min walidihi, wa waladihi, wan nasi ajma'in, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi, wa waladihi, والناس أجمعين. Tika, any questions, anybody? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم وعلى آله وصحبه بارك وسلم اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم جو کچھ بھی یہاں ذکر خیر ہوا قرآن مجید فرقان حمید کی تلاوت تفسیر اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم تیرے محبوب اعظم سیدنا محمد مصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی حدیث مبارکہ کا ذکر ہوا یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ان سب چیزوں کو اپنی بارگاہ میں قبول فرما جو نعت پاک پڑھی گئی یا اللہ اسے بھی اپنی بارگاہ میں قبول فرما اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم یہ کھانے پینے کی جو تبرکات پیش کیے گئے ان سب چیزوں کو بھی اپنی بارگاہ میں قبول فرما اور یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم ان سب چیزوں کا ثواب سب سے پہلے رسول اکرم سرور کائنات سید المرسلین شفیع المذنبین رحمت للعالمین علیہ افضل الصلاۃ و اکمل التسلیم کی بارگاہ میں نذرانہ پیش کرتے ہیں، ہدیتاً پیش کرتے ہیں، تحفتاً پیش کرتے ہیں، قبول فرما یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم رسول اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی قبر شریف پر اور رحمت کامل کا نزول فرما اور انوار و تجلیات کا نزول فرما اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے میں تمام انبیاء کرام، تمام صحابہ کرام، تمام ازواج مطہرات، تمام اہل بیت عظام، خاص طور پہ امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کی روح اور آپ کے ساتھ جتنے بھی شہید ہوئے کربلا کے میدان میں ان سب کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما اور یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم اس کا ثواب تمام آل رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی بارگاہ میں پیش کرتے قبول فرما اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم تمام ائمہ مجتہدین ان میں خاص طور پہ امام اعظم ابو حنیفہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کی روح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم تمام تابعی تبع تابعی کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم اور ان سب چیزوں کا ثواب تیرے تمام اولیاء کرام کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما خاص طور پہ حضور شیخ الثقلین غوث الثقلین شیخ عبد القادر جیلانی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کی روح پرفتور پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما اور آپ کے سلسلے کے تمام مشائخ عظام اور تمام سلاسل حقہ کے مشائخ حقہ کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم تمام علماء کرام، مفسرین کرام، محدثین عظام کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما خاص طور پہ تمام فقہاء کرام کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اور تمام بزرگوں کے صدقے میں ہم ان سب چیزوں کا ثواب حضور خواجہ غریب نواز رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ اور امام احمد رضا خان فاضل بریلوی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کی روح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما خواجہ غریب نواز کے پیر و مرشد کی روح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما آپ کے تمام خلفاء کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما اور امام احمد رضا رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کے تمام خانوادے کے افراد کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما آپ کے خاندان برکات یا اللہ یا رحیم آپ کے پیر و مرشد کے تمام خانوادے کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اور آپ کے تمام گھر والوں کی روح پر پیش کرتے قبول فرما آپ کے تمام خلفاء اور تمام شاگرد حضرات کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم حضور مفتی اعظم ہند علیہ رحمہ اور حضور صدر الشریعہ اور علامہ حجت الاسلام علامہ حامد رضا خان علیہ رحمہ کی روح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم جتنے بھی بزرگان دین اس دنیا سے وفات پا چکے ان سب کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما علامہ ارشد القادری رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کی روح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم سید نورانی بابا رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کی روح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما اور یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم ان کے خانوادے کے تمام سادات کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما حضرت مفتی بحر العلوم علامہ عبد المنان رحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ قادری برکاتی رضوی ان کی روح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما ان کی قبر منور پہ اور انوار و تجلیات اور رحمتوں کا نزول فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ہم لوگوں کو ان سے زیادہ مستفید ہونے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم مفتی شریف الحق علیہ رحمہ علامہ عبد المصطفیٰ ظہری اعظمی اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم مفتی جلال الدین احمد امجدی علیہ رحمہ حضور محدث اعظم پاکستان حضور حافظ ملت حضور محدث اعظم ہند اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم جتنے بھی ہمارے بزرگان دین اس دنیا سے وفات پا چکے ان سب کی ارواح پر اس کا ثواب پیش کرتے. قبول فرما اور یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم ہم سب لوگوں کو ان بزرگوں کی پیروی کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما ان بزرگان دین کے نقش و قدم پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما ہم سب لوگوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ہم سب لوگوں کو دین و دنیا کی کامیابی عطا فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اس گھر میں اپنی برکتوں کا نزول فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اس گھر والوں پہ اپنی برکتوں کا نزول فرما اس گھر والوں کے دلوں میں ایک دوسرے کے لیے محبتیں پیدا فرما. اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اس گھر میں تیری رحمتوں کا نزول فرما. اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم تیری مخلوقات میں جتنے بھی بد ہے اور جتنا بھی شر ہے یا اللہ اس سب سے اس گھر کو محفوظ فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اس گھر کو تمام آفات اور بلیات سے محفوظ فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ہم سب پر خصوصی فضل و کرم فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ہم سب کے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما ہم سب کے علم اور عمل میں برکت عطا فرما. اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ہمارے قطب الدین نے جو نیا گھر لیا ہے یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اس گھر کی بھی حفاظت فرما اس گھر کو بھی اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ. اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم اس گھر میں بھی اپنی رحمتوں اور برکتوں کا نزول فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم تمام حاضرین کے دلوں میں تیرا سچا خوف اور رسول اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سچی محبت پیدا فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ہم سب لوگوں پہ اپنا خصوصی فضل و کرم فرما. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم جس کی جو حاجت ہے وہ تو جانتا ہے تو کرم فرما رحم فرما عطا فرما. آمین یا رب العالمین. بجاہ حبیبک افضل سیدنا و نبینا مولانا محمد المصطفیٰ علیہ افضل الصلاۃ و اکمل التسلیم و بجاہ الشیخ عبد القادر الجیلانی رضیت عنہ یا رب العالمین و برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی یا ایہا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا و نبینا و مولانا محمد معید الجود والکرم و علی آلہ و صحبہ بارک وسلم. یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ان سب چیزوں کا ثواب جو ہم نے یہاں ذکر کیا یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم ہماری بری امی کے تمام خانوادے کے جتنے بھی وفات شدہ حضرات ہیں ان سب کی ارواح پر اس کا ثواب پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما اور جتنے حضرات یہاں موجود ہیں ان سب کی ارواح پر بھی پیش کرتے ہیں. جتنے یہاں موجود ہیں ان سب کے رشتہ داروں میں دوست احباب متعلقین میں جو کوئی وفات پا چکا ان سب کی ارواح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما ہماری دادی جان کی روح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما دادا کی روح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما ہمارے نانا کی روح پر پیش کرتے ہیں. قبول فرما پر نانا پر نانی. اور یا اللہ رحمان یا رحیم جتنے بھی اور یہاں ہمارے یہ بڑے امی جو وفات پا چکی ان کی روح پر بھی پیش کرتے. قبول فرما. آمین یا رب العالمین. بجاہ النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین برحمتک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.